G'day, Michael. How are you going?
I'm pretty well, thanks, Alex. Even though I've got two ordinary films to talk about today, they're both aimed at a hetero female audience, but that's really not an excuse for them to be quite so ordinary. I'll start with a film that actually came out last week. It's called The Broken Hearts Gallery.
It has an odour.
This one stars actually two Australians, Geraldine Viswanathan.
My vibrator will never break my heart.
Who you might remember from Blockers, and Dacre Montgomery, who's been in Stranger Things over the last few years.
Can I come in?
It also stars Molly Gordon, who's been in Animal Kingdom, Philippa Sue, who was in Hamilton recently, and Bernadette Peters, though you can barely recognise her these days. Her face has been so heavily modified. She was in The Jerk many, many years ago. This film is written and directed by Natalie Krinsky. It's her feature debut as a director, but she has written a lot of episodic TV like Gossip Girl and Grey's Anatomy.
Heartbreak is the loneliest feeling in the world, and the truth is, it happens to us all.
Now, after being dumped by the slimy Max, played by Utkarsh Ambudkar, aspiring gallery assistant Lucy, played by Viswanathan, gets horribly drunk and ends up in a car she mistakes for an Uber, which just happens to be driven by the dreamy Nick, played by Dacre Montgomery.
I have had the worst night of my life.
This isn't a lift, this is my car.
They chat and it emerges that Nick is building a hotel. Lucy decides that that would be a great place for an art installation called the Broken Hearts Gallery. A pretty odd name for a romantic comedy, but somehow you just know Lucy's broken heart is going to be mended by the end of the film. Especially if her two overprotective best friends, Amanda, played by Molly Gordon, and Nadine, played by Philippa Sue, have anything to do with it.
Those bitches.
The Broken Hearts Gallery, despite its dynamic leading lady Geraldine Viswanathan, who seems a bit wasted on this material, is really just a conventional by-the-numbers romantic comedy with a few nods to ethnic and sexual diversity, and also some very obvious nods to some of the techniques used in When Harry Met Sally. Despite Dacre Montgomery's Nick's complete lack of dynamism and energy, he and Lucy somehow form an instant chemistry on meeting. So the rest of the film really feels just like filler, maybe about 15 minutes too much filler, as the two establish what we already know to be obvious. They're into each other.
I can help with the hotel in exchange for gallery space.
Followed by the obligatory bumps in the road, a returning old flame, miscommunications, and the revelation of a closely guarded secret which is supposed to create drama, but is ultimately pretty trivial. A good career stepping stone for Geraldine Viswanathan, The Broken Hearts Gallery is ultimately pretty unremarkable. You'll soon be on the lookout for other, more interesting, shiny objects.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like it's just your stock standard rom-com, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Not my cup of tea, but regardless, we'll move on to the next one. What else have you got for us, Michael?
I will decide what I do next.
This one's called The High Note. It stars Tracy Ellis Ross, who's been in Blackish over the last few years, Dakota Johnson, who was in the Peanut Butter Gallery and 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
Kelvin Harrison Jr., who was most recently in Waves, Zoe Chow, who was in Downhill, and Ice Cube.
Y'all know it's a damn microphone in there, right?
This film was directed by Nisha Ganatra, who most recently directed Late Night last year. Dakota Johnson is Maggie Sherwood, a PA to soul diva Grace Davis, played by Tracy Ellis Ross.
I'm not going to tell you guys you're great if you're not great. Do it again.
Grace Davis's character is at a career crossroads. She wants to record a new album, which Maggie thinks is a great idea because she'd like to produce it.
I mean, that's one plan.
But Davis's manager, Jack, played by Ice Cube, thinks Davis should go for the financial sure thing of a Las Vegas residency. Now, Maggie has also been invited to a party by a mysterious, cool dude called David, played by Kelvin Harrison Jr., who plays music outside her local supermarket. There's just something about that guy. The High Note starts out promisingly enough with two strong female characters, Grace and Maggie, determined to set the course of their own destinies in the male-dominated music industry, represented by manager Jack.
Let me do my job and you do yours.
A condescending producer, played by Diplo in a highly amusing cameo, and various yes-men. But unfortunately, the potentially interesting story veers off track as it becomes more focused on Maggie's developing working relationship, in inverted commas, with the enigmatic David. She convinces him that she can help him with his music. She really is some sort of popular music savant and quite a talented producer.
I didn't want to tell you or Jack, but I did a cut of your song.
But it's pretty clear that Maggie's on her way to failing the Bechdel test and ultimately letting everyone down. including this viewer. I know I should have seen it coming from the moment the characters of Maggie and David lock eyes in that supermarket, but it still hurts. Tracee Ellis Ross is quite formidable as Grace Davis, no doubt channeling her diva mother, Diana Ross.
I think it's time I record a new album.
And Dakota Johnson is an interesting actress to watch, but it would have been nice to see her character move through a slightly less conventional and predictable story arc. It's so predictable, in fact, that we can see the twist coming within the first 20 minutes or so.
I'm just a personal assistant, but I'd love to produce your music.
Now, whilst the high note doesn't really hit any bum notes, it does play very safe. It's the cinematic equivalent of easy listening.
Hey, Michael, thank you so much, and we'll catch you next week.
Pleasure.